Hello, my name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning in, no matter how you do it. And there are so many ways that you can listen to this. We are on the radio in Thayer, Missouri. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, and also have a podcast as well of everything that we make. And you can search those by Word is Alive Ministries, and you can find them. This morning I'm going to be in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19. We'll be talking about talents that were given. It's also in Matthew chapter 25. So if you want to read that, it's a little bit more extensive there. I like Luke. It's a little bit more concise. Luke is a great writer and lays things out in such a great way. If you look in verse 11, chapter 19, and it says, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now, Jesus is going to speak in a parable. A parable is a story that relates a message. He uses characters and gives them something to understand. It's an analogy that they can relate to. And he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy 10 pounds had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, there is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, and thou layest thou not down, and thou reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had not laid down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thou money, my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. All right, we're going to stop right there and just explore this, and what is this? And then over in Matthew chapter 25, it talks about talents, things that are given. It was still talking about money. And he goes for us as, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to those that had used. Now, I want you to understand that as saved people, you've been given something by God, something that can be used. Now, the reason he was talking about this was because they thought the kingdom of God was right there. They thought it was going to happen right now, and he was letting them know this is going to be a delayed thing, but you have to work, you have to continue on, you have to do what you're supposed to and work for me. And that's what we're doing. We're working for Christ. We're not working for the church, we're not working for the pastor, we're not working for an association, we're not working in any aspect except for Jesus Christ. And so we need to get to that point to understand we are working for him. It's not about somebody else. I'm telling you, it's getting to the point where we're very busy. We're doing a lot of things. And a lot of the times we're not working for church, pastor, anybody else. We're working for ourselves because we want the adulation. We want the credit for it. You may do a VBS, a camp, a senior ministry, whatever it is. And you look at it and go, I do that better than anybody else. Well, that's not what this is about. This is about using what God has given you. And Jesus is talking about this to these people and letting them know, I'm going away. You've got to do some things while I'm gone. Now, he gives some money to these servants. And each one of them, when he returns, comes to him and talks to him. Now, we can talk about crowns of glory, all we want, you know, and pastors get a crown, but all these crowns are going to be laid at Jesus' feet. We're not going to take these and go, wow, look at what I've got and lord it over everyone else. We're going to lay it at his feet anyway. But he's calling these people back in. He said, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? We're supposed to do something with what Jesus has given us. And each one of us has something different that we have. And we can explain this in many different ways. You can talk about spiritual gifts. Some say, well, those spiritual gifts are gone. You can talk about God-given talents. I don't care what you want to call it, but God has given you something to use. Not all people can preach. Not all people can teach. Not all people can have the gift of mercy and have it in abundance. Now, we can all practice those things. Don't say, oh, I don't have that, so I can't do it. We can all practice those things, and we can also help others who honestly have that. So we're not just limited to what the talent is that we have been given and say, well, I'm not going to do anything else. I've seen people do that too. Well, that's not my gift, so I'm not doing that. No, that's not what we're supposed to do either. We're supposed to help. We're supposed to assist and do those things. But these servants came back, and Jesus asked them, he said, what have you done? And you say, well, this is a parable. He's talking about a man, but it's him. And these people are going to say, well, I did this. You know, one said, you know, I tenfold. Another said, you know, just half of that. But each time that they came back and said, I did this with this, and here's what happened, he said, well done. Well done. You know, this is what we want to hear. I mean, I don't care who we are, you know, and I was talking to someone about psychology of Facebook and things like that. And there, it's a very real thing. People get depressed if they don't get enough likes. We want to be liked. We want to have people appreciate what we're doing, and whether it's a joke or whatever it else, you want people to respond, even in text. If somebody doesn't respond, well, you didn't respond, you know, and I've been guilty of that. People say, well, you didn't respond to that. And I go, well, I didn't know I was supposed to. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. You know, I don't know, the way that we're supposed to do these things, but we want those things. And, in the church, for God's work, we want that. It's great to feel appreciated. And I've even told people, you know, hey, see someone in church or somebody that's doing something and you know that, hey, it's okay to go up and pat them on the back. Go, I appreciate you. I had an older preacher. He'd been a pastor for 50 years when I surrendered to preach, and he would come up to me, and it was an amazing thing of how this would make me feel. And he would just tell me, shake my hand, look me in the eye and say, I appreciate you. You know, that meant so much to me, and we need that, but we're not supposed to be doing it for that. We're supposed to be doing it because Christ has done what for us? He died on the cross. He defeated death. He's given us eternal life. And so we do these things for him. Now, one thing I want you to notice, that the talents were given. Each one of us has that. So you say, well, I don't know that I've ever been given that. Yes, you have. And there are different ways to find these out. I've taken all these little tests and everything. Each one seems to point out something different. And I've even had people in those things that would tell you, well, I think your gift is this. And there are going to be those people in your life too. They're going to come up and they're going to go, well, what your gift is and your talent is, you know, they don't know that. Most of the time, what they're trying to do is get you to do something they don't want to do. And too many people say, well, I have the gift of administration. That means they're the boss. And that's not what it's about either. It's about being a servant. It's about being a servant of Jesus Christ. Each one of these was given a talent. And when he came back, they had multiplied. So each person has been given a talent. A gift of whatever you want to call it, but something that can be used for the kingdom of God. You may be a person that is very gregarious and you could talk to anyone. I know people like that, man. It's natural to them. Honestly, it's not natural to me. I can get up and I can preach, but just a personal interaction, just the first time, it's very difficult for me. I tend to sit back and listen to people and get to know them before I can really talk to them. So when I do that, and I do try to do that, talking to people, it's kind of a difficult thing for me and kind of exhausts me in ways. But that doesn't mean I don't do it. I still try to practice that and get better at it. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, although that is not my great talent, I try to practice it. I try to use it. I try to do things. It's just like on a sports team, and you know, you may have a talent for free throws, but you don't dribble very well. Does that mean that you don't concentrate and try to practice on dribbling the ball down the court? No, you try to practice those things that are your weaknesses, and you try to hone those and try to get those. But those things that are truly your gift, use those, and I mean hone in on those, make those as best you can, and use them. So each one of us has been given something. So what have you been given? You say, well, how do I find this thing out? How do I do that? Like I said, there's tests that you can take. You can go ahead and do those, and they may point you to that, but you honestly know already what your gift is. And if you don't, well, here's the thing. Try something. Try something. And then, but branch out and try something else. Ask somebody, say, you know, what do you do? How do you do that? You know, do you go door knocking? Do you witness to people, here? Or do you use an event? How do you do those kind of things? And try to do it, and you'll find out, well, these things are okay. But I'm telling you right now, if you do something and you say, well, that's not really it, that's okay. That's okay. Go ahead and use that, but go ahead and move on to something that you say, well, that is truly mine. And I'm going to hone that. I'm going to use that. Each person has been given that. Find out what that is. The best way to do it is to do it. Just get out there and do it. Try it. You know, like I said, I'm not great at meeting people for the first time and just asking them about the Lord. I know people that are. I've got friends that, man, they just make it look so easy because that's what they've been given. Try it. Try it out. You know, if it didn't work well, you didn't feel right, we'll continue on to work with that, but go on and find what you've truly been given. So we've all been given something. The other thing is that the Lord is going to require something of us. We look at this and we say, well, what is this parable about? It's like Jesus is going to require something. He wants us to do this. He's going to bring us to account. All Christians are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It tells us this in the Bible. It tells us this in Romans. It tells us in 2 Corinthians. It tells us this, that we are going to stand. They call it the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And it says we're going to answer for whatever we've done in our bodies, both good and bad. We're going to have a judgment. We are not going to be judged as whether we're going into heaven or not, but we're going to be judged as to what we've done here on this earth in these bodies. So we need to understand that Jesus is going to ask us. Jesus is going to require us, you know, and you can say, well, I'm not worried about that. I'm saved. Well, that's fine. But still, we are going to answer for these things. You're going to stand before the Lord Almighty. And I'm telling you, when I first came to the realization of like, wow, you know, at first I was just like, okay, you know, no big deal. But then when I really read that, I'm like, this is something. I need to pay attention to this. There is going to be that judgment. There's going to be this time he's going to say, I gave you this. What did you do with it? You say, well, he already knows that. I know, but we're going to have to give account. This is what this is about. We are going to give account when he comes back. He is going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And each one of these gave an account for what they had done. So we have been given something. We're supposed to use it. We will give an account for it. We will stand before Jesus. It's not going to be some sort of tribunal where we judge ourselves. We're not very good at that because we play favorites and all this. Jesus is not going to do this. He's going to say this, this, and this because he's truth and life. He's the way. He is truth. And so he's going to be truthful. He is going to be the correct judge. He is not going to let anyone by with what they shouldn't be. We see this all the time in our court system and everything. And we say, well, we don't get justice. It's not fair. These things are not fair. Have you ever been in a situation, you sit in a court and you go, why did he do that? And, you know, then he starts talking to somebody and he knows them and he goes a little bit more lenient, or she, whichever the case may be, goes more lenient on someone, a little bit tougher on somebody else. It's because we are partial. We are not impartial. We are not truthful to ourselves or to anybody else most of the time. And so we need to be judged by Christ. We need to go to him constantly. Lord, I need to know where you want me to go. It's a tough deal. Sometimes we got to step out. When he called Abram out, he said, come on, come out of there to a land I will show you. That had to have been difficult, taking that first step, you know. And it all begins with that first step. So if you've never done anything for the Lord, you've never done anything with everything you've been given, take that first step. Try it today. I guarantee you, if you go to your pastor and say, hey, I'm really wanting to do something, and here's what I think I should do, he'll give you something. He'll say, boy, I've been waiting. You really want to surprise your pastor? Go and tell him, hey, I want to do something. He won't know what to think. Go to your nominating committee or whatever it is and say, I want to do something. I want to try this. You know, if you're a new Christian, you don't need to be teaching a class. And if you're a church and you've got a new Christian, I don't care how old they are, you don't throw them in a class, teach in a class right away. They need to be in a class. Get some teaching. Go online. There's so many other ways than we used to have to find out some information to get to this point, to be educated. So get you something. We are going to stand in account to Jesus Christ. Just think about that for a moment. Let that sink in. How are you going to stack up? How are you going to stack up? So we're going to give an account. And each one of these did. They came and they gave an account to the master. That's Jesus. And each time they said, this is what I did. You gave me this. I did this with it. So we've been given something to use for the kingdom, for Jesus Christ. He said, the kingdom's not right now, but it's coming. We are going to give an account. And the other thing I want you to notice is it's not about the results. It's not about the, I want to get that through to you. It's not about the results. You know, I've had people tell me, well, I've been witnessing for so many years and I've done all this and I've never had anybody saved while I was talking. That's not the guide. That's not the aim of all this. It's not the results. It's not ours to say what the results is. The harvest is Jesus Christ. Everything, the gain is all him. It's all about him. It's all about for him. The thing of it is, you may be a step. You may be a building block. You may be the one that plants the seed and someone else is going to see it. That's okay. Keep on doing it. That's not what it's about. It's not about the results. Each one of these came, they had a different result. One had gained quite a bit. Another had not gained quite so many. But the master didn't say, well, I'm sorry you didn't gain as much as the other guy. No, each time that someone came and said, I had a gain. I used what you had given me. And here is the gain. They were told, well done. Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be great to be told by Jesus, well done? Well done. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, when I think of well done, I think of steak, and I don't want to be well done. But in this case, well done is good. But the fact is, it's kind of rare that people use their gift. It's kind of rare that people use what they've been given. You know, when you go back to the 80-20 rule in churches and in God's work, you know, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I'm going to tell you, it's probably like 90-10, really. In my experience, it's very rare that you get more than 10% that are truly dedicated, that are truly trying to use their gift. And it's an amazing thing when people start using what they've been given. You see a church that's doing that. People are working and they're doing what they've been given. It grows. Why? Because they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. People will hear about that. People see that. They know they're doing it for Jesus, not for themselves. And you'll see a gain. You will see a gain. You'll see people get saved. You need to teach them. We need to teach our people about these things. Each time they came, again, it was not about the result. It was about the doing. It was about taking it. It was about using it. Use what you've been given. Find out what it is. Seek somebody out. Maybe you like to do certain things. You know, the thing of it is, everybody wants to be a youth director. Well, that's because they do fun stuff. Let's be honest with it. Everybody that wants to be a youth director, if you're 50 years old and you've never done anything and all of a sudden you decide to want to be a youth director, you're trying to capture your youth. I'm just sorry about that, but that's just the truth. Nobody wants to hear that, but you want to go on fun stuff. You want to go to Silver Dollar City. You want to do all that fun stuff. If you're truly called as youth director, you'll know it. I've been around people that were truly gifted in that manner. They walk into a room and those younger people congregate around them. I'm not like that. I said before, they kind of scatter, when I come in, to a room. I know that that's not my God-given gift. I relate. I like a men's ministry and I've always felt that heart for it. And that's where I have, seen, success, if you want to call it that, because I feel comfortable in that. I feel comfortable in that. And I've seen those ministries grow because that's what God has given me. And I reach out to those men. I can relate to them in ways that I couldn't, a young person. Do I like being around young people? Do I like doing those things? Sure I do. Can't do the running around and stuff like they do anymore. I don't want to get out there and play flag football with them anymore or anything like that. They're, you know, younger people can do that, and that's okay. But don't just look at it because you think, well, that's going to be fun. You know, your gift may be picking up trash. You say, oh, I can't be. Every church I've ever been in, I've walked in, I've seen stuff in the floor. And I always think, why didn't somebody pick that up? And I've seen this in a church. After services, all of a sudden I see this person and they're going around and they're picking those things up after revival service and everything. And I would ask the pastor, I said, you know, do they do that all the time? Yep, they do it every time. That's what they do. They make sure it's picked up. They're meticulous. They make sure that those things are done. They want it to look right. You may, I've had people that had decorations or flower arrangements, and that was what was been given to them, and they wanted to make sure that they were beautiful. And so when someone stepped in, they said, look at the church. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if people walk in, they see your church in a decaying state where the yard is not mowed or nothing's taken care of or paint is peeling off the walls or something like that, they look around and they think, these people don't care. I promise you they do, because I look at that and say that. If I drive by a church and it's in decay, I say they probably don't care about their church. So whatever it is, it's okay. Use that. It can be the smallest of things, and it may be those things that are never noticed. You may be a prayer warrior, and don't just say I'm going to be a prayer warrior so you don't have to do anything. I have had people in my ministry that were prayer warriors. I mean, talking about true prayer warriors that I knew that they were praying for me. No matter what, they were praying for me. When they said, I prayed for you and I pray for you daily, I knew that. I knew it to be true. And I've had these other people say, well, yeah, I'm a prayer warrior. And they don't pray. They don't have their list. They don't have it. You know, they're not really doing it. They just want to say that because they don't want to do anything else. Don't be that person. Get up and do it. Get out there. Find that thing that you've been given. Each one of these came, and no matter what it was, no matter how great or small we may look at it, they were told, well done. You've done well with the few things you've been given. You're going to have more. You say, what is this? Many have said this responsibilities in the kingdom. Responsibilities, and you're going to be over this. I don't really know. I just know that there are rewards, okay? There are rewards for this. We're going to find out what it is. But I'm not doing that because of the rewards. I'm doing it because Jesus has said we're supposed to do this. I'm working for him. I can never repay him for the gift because it is a gift. But I want to work for him because he loved me so much that he died on a cross for me, defeated death so I could have eternal life. And he didn't judge me upon how much I could do, how much I could get done for him beforehand. He said, no, you work for me afterwards. You see, if I do things beforehand, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for me. And I keep going back to Matthew chapter 7. We see these things where these guys say, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he says, I never knew you. So it's not about doing the things beforehand. It's not about doing those things for those accolades so we can lay it at his feet and go, hey, look at how great I am. No, it's about going, look how great you are. Thank you for allowing me to do something for you. Thank you for allowing me to work for you. Now, it's a kind of a foreign concept to us. We look at it and we think, well, we shouldn't do that. We want wages. We want to get what we earned. Well, what we've earned is death, because the wages of sin is death, and all of sin and come short of the glory of God. So we don't want what we deserve. We want what Jesus is going to give us through his mercy, through his grace. Amen. Thank you for that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Each one of these brought those things. So we've all been given something. We will stand before him. And it's not about what we think is success. You know, many people will look at a ministry and go, well, you know, you didn't have that many people saved, so you didn't have much success. That's not what it's about. That one person that got saved, that you nurtured, that you taught, maybe the one that goes out there and has that talent to witness to people and see people saved, and there may be multiple saved, and you may never know it. Never know how that's going to impact anyone. So you do that because Jesus loves us. And so we take these things to him, not because of our personal gain, but because he loves us. because he cares for us. Each one of these brought those things, and he said, well done, except for the last that said, I didn't use it. I was afraid of you. I was afraid of doing anything. I was afraid that if I didn't have anything, you'd be angry, you know. Luke calls it an austere man. And Matthew says, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent on earth. You're a great man. You're a great ruler. You know, he said, I was afraid of these things. And that person in both Luke and in Matthew, the master said, you didn't do anything with it. It's going to be taken away from you. It's going to be given to somebody else. I don't want to be that person. Do you? I don't want to be that one person that steps up and Jesus says, you didn't do a thing. I gave you something. I wanted you to use that and you didn't do a thing. Now think about this. If you didn't do anything with that, who was it that didn't get to hear about Jesus Christ? Who was it that didn't get the message because of you? We need to get off our 4 point of contact and we need to get to doing something. You say, well, what is that? Well, that's a military term for your backside, okay? Too many people are pew sitting, chair sitting, sitting period, not doing anything. Now, I'm gonna say this right now, I'm too old to do that. No, you're not either. You're not too old to pray for somebody. You're not too old to encourage someone. You're not too old to teach, but you need to start when you're young. Don't wait until you're old. I've heard this all the time. Well, when I retire. When I retire, I'm going to do this. No, you are not. Let me tell you that right now. If you're out there saying that, you are not. It is such a rare thing to see anybody. If you're not already started on it before you retire, you're not going to do it after you retire. You're going to do what you want. I've seen too many, and I'm telling you just from experience, if you're saying that, I'm going to wait until I retire, so I've got all this time, you will not. Bottom line, you say, well, you're wrong. Prove me wrong. I'm telling you, experience has told me you're not going to do that. Start right now. Start when you're young and then teach somebody else. If you've got a particular gift, if you've got a particular talent and you see someone that has that, they're exhibiting that, bring them alongside of you. Mentor them, teach them, show them, help them along. It's just like if you go to a gym and you've got somebody that knows what they're doing and they can help you along and they say, hey, I want to help you do this. I want to help you build and show this exercise for this muscle and this muscle. I'll be right there with you. We need to do that for one another. Teach. We talk about the Great Commission all the time, but we forget about the discipleship. We forget about the teaching. That's all that means. You bring them alongside and you teach them. We're all about, we'll throw them in the water and let's see if they can swim. We need to let them know. You've been given something, Jesus is going to require of it, and it's not your results. It's his. And if you're not using it, he said it's going to be taken away from you. What does that mean? In the kingdom, it's going to be taken away from you. Now, how are we going to feel about that? Again, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I don't want to be that person and you don't want to be that person. Be that person that uses it. Get out there and do something today. Go and find something and say, hey, I just want to try something. I want to try stuff, this or that, so I can hear, well done. Well done, a good and faithful servant. Well done. I want to hear that from Jesus. Not because I want to be a great person, but because I want to do something for him. Won't you do something for Jesus today? You can start out. You can help us by praying for our ministry. Pray that we can reach out. Pray for others that can reach out. And then get out there and do something. Small word, D-O, do. Not sit, do. Get out there and try it today. Say, Lord, show me the way. I'm going to try this, you know, And Lord, show me the way, light my path, show me what I should be doing. Somebody in my way that will help me to do those things. I've seen some of the most unlikely people do some of the greatest things for the Lord, and they were just wanting to work for him. They just wanted to do things for him so that they could further his work. We say we're building the kingdom, you know. What are we doing? The kingdom is Jesus. He's already built it. We're just working for him. We're working for the kingdom. We're working for the King. King of King and Lord of Lords. We're working for Him. Won't you work for Him today? Number one, you got to get saved. You got to accept Jesus as your Savior. You got to turn your life completely over to Him and say, you tell me what to do. And then after that, you need to go out and you need to do something with what you've been given. So that you can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, instead of saying, sorry, you didn't do a thing with what you were given. Get out there and do something today. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for allowing us to be with you today.